is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column based in London. And we go to our allies on the other side of the Atlantic for news about energy shortages and inflation, and then puzzlement coming out of the recovery, coming out of the pandemic, coming out of all of the concerns of 2020. We have this headline in the London Times: Heathrow Airport to raise passenger charges by up to 56%, explaining the Civil Aviation Authority gave permission for average passenger charges to increase from £22 in 2020 to between £24.5 and £34.5 next year. It will consult on the charges until December before fixing the fees. Joe, a very good evening to you in London. The only way I can imagine you have to get back and forth between the United States and the United Kingdom is going through Heathrow. You've been there. You've been through that many times. So what is this decision? Is this inflation? Is this gouging? Is this something special to burden the already troubled air passenger with more money for passing through Heathrow? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. I think it is actually a really interesting inflation story, the more I have thought about it, because what is basically going on here is that you've got a situation where the company, it's a private company that operates Heathrow, the primary hub in the United Kingdom and a major air hub for Europe and indeed the world. The private company that operates it makes most of its money from fees from the airlines and tacked on to passenger tickets. And of course, there hasn't been as much traveling over the past year and a half. So those private owners, which consist of a lot of sovereign wealth funds, are trying to figure out how they can make back some of that money that they have lost, especially since they continued having a lot of expenses as they were operating over the past year and a half. And it's notable that what they have decided that they think they can get away with is increasing the charges on passengers. Because, you know, you would have two routes that you could go. I mean, you could either try to trim back the operating budget somehow. They might think that they've already done the most of that they can do from that. You might pare back some of the dividends or, even do equity raising from the existing shareholders, try to put more capital into the business so that it can keep going as its earnings return. Or you just raise your prices. And it's notable that the thing that they think they can do most easily is raise prices, and they are probably right about that, because you again have the situation where there is a lot of money in the economy. British households love to travel. They love going on their vacations around the world. They love flying off to other parts of Europe. They will probably pay these fees because they have the money to do it, since they weren't spending that money on vacations over the past year and a half. So it's a classic inflation story of the money is out there and the prices will rise to try to capture more of it.
Right. Too much money chasing too few goods. We go to those good story. We cross the Atlantic to Procter & Gamble. Wall Street Journal reporting. Well, Procter & Gamble said that it expects solid sales and profit growth over the next 9 months, even as costs for everything from warehouse space to raw materials rise faster than the consumer products company expected. From furniture makers to grocers, the world's biggest companies are using their deep pockets, sprawling global operations, and commanding market share to insulate themselves from the global supply chain meltdown. Okay, Joe, is this inflation? Is this supply chain inflation, hence temporary? Is this just plain old supply chain? Too much money chasing goods that haven't arrived from China?
This is how what everyone promised us was a transitory inflation actually becomes a permanent increase in the price level and potentially escalating inflation for the foreseeable future. Because what's really interesting about this is not the first time that we've heard from a major consumer goods company in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world about what they expected to do with their prices. In fact, listeners should double-check me on this. I think that Procter & Gamble was one of several large consumer goods companies that already earlier this year had announced that around now they were going to be increasing the prices that they charged consumers. And they had signaled months ago that they were going to do this, mainly because they were testing the waters, and they've been going through this process of figuring out what price level the market will bear. What seems to be happening is that they are discovering that consumers will pay the higher prices. And so, I mean, what do you think are the odds that those prices are going to come down now? I mean, it's going to take a major economic event of some sort, you know, some policy effort to really nip the inflation in the bud at this point in order for those companies to conclude that they have to start competing downward on price again. But instead, the signal that we're getting, and I promise you Procter & Gamble is, I'm sure, not going to be the last company to reach this conclusion, the last big or small company that will discover that actually consumers are paying higher prices, and so they can continue charging that.
Testimony. I traveled recently, Joe, and you did too, and I found it very convenient to buy a cappuccino on my way to Washington, D.C. I was surprised, however, ordering a modest, small cappuccino, that the price had increased markedly in my memory over the last 6 months. It was for something, for a small cappuccino. I paid it because that's all I wanted. However, that's coffee, simple little matter. You multiply that again and again, and you get to this story. Ben Weber, this is Wall Street Journal reporting, a 27-year-old professional services consultant in Kalamazoo, Michigan, struck out trying to purchase a miniature haunted house in store to add to his Lemax Spooky Town collection, a line of Halloween-themed animatronic figurines and buildings. He was also broadly disappointed in the amount of Halloween decor available at stores near him. So he's sticking with last year's decorations. Halloween is in trouble. It might already have failed. We don't have good choices. The choices we have are more expensive. Is that temporary inflation? It is only once a year. Or is Halloween now going to keep these prices for next year?
Well, I think that that kind of thing is just symptomatic of the broader dislocations that are going on in the economy. And I mean, it can be difficult sometimes to point to one specific good, or, you know, even a category of goods and say this is inflating or this isn't inflating, because sometimes, I mean, what will show up is just the unavailability of supply at any price, which is part of the problem we've got. And if people think that Halloween has been bad, I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that Christmas is probably going to be worse. I mean, already you have a lot of companies, you know, around Europe and the U.S. who are saying that they have struggled to get shipments onto the ships that would bring them here in time for the holiday shopping season. So, you know, I think that basically what we're in for is this period where, on the one hand, when goods or services are available, the prices for them are going to be going up. And in fact, we'll probably be bidding up the prices for the things that are in stock, because there are also going to be so many things that are not in stock. You know, if you're not able to buy the Halloween decorations that you were looking for, maybe you don't think twice about paying an extra 25 or 50 cents for the fancy, you know, Halloween themed coffee at the coffee shop or something like that. So, I mean, that is the story to my eye here. It isn't only about the price level, as bad as that is, but it's also about this related struggle that the economy is having right now, meeting the demands of consumers.
We have a photograph of the port of Los Angeles and Long Beach Port in the Wall Street Journal. It looks like acre after acre of containers sitting there. Doesn't look like anything's happening to them. We know there's a lineup of container ships off the coast of California, so many that they might have contributed to the damaged oil leak that happened at Huntington Beach in these last days. But in any event, the White House responding By going to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Port of Los Angeles will join the Port of Long Beach, California, which started doing a similar thing last month. Major ports in Asia and Europe have operated around the clock for years. Is this going to solve it, Joe? Can they catch up? Maybe not for Christmas, but how about for Easter? Can they clear this jam, or is this going to be with us for years?
Well, I don't know enough about the port business to be able to answer that question, but I can say that in much broader terms, this is the kind of solution that you need. Because basically an inflationary environment or these kinds of shortages arrive when demand is outstripping the productive capacity of the economy. And so the solution needs to be an increase in production and supply. And one of the ways that you improve the productivity of the economy is by operating the ports 24/7, so that you can increase the throughput, the efficiency with which they are able to unload the ships and move the products along the supply chain. So, I mean, that is definitely the right kind of solution. We need a lot more of that. And I think it's important for people to understand that solution, you can't view any one of these things as a silver bullet. I mean, it's not that you can operate one or two ports 24 hours a day, and after a certain amount of time, that will solve the problem. We need to be thinking in terms of the total productive capacity of the economy. And so that has to mean improving the efficiency and the operation of the ports, has to include the energy market and unsticking all of the domestic energy production so that there is enough energy supply to meet the demand, which has been a notable failure of the Biden administration so far. You need to look at all of the various environmental or labor or tax policies that are discouraging factories from operating or that are making it difficult for companies to import again to fulfill the supply needs for the economy. That is the kind of solution that allows you to cope with this kind of very inflationary situation.
And Joe, on the other side of the Pacific, China, we're told that its GDP has declined to 4.9%, a surprising decline. Does that mean that this container ship problem on the east side of the Pacific and the inability to get supplies to Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas or even Easter is going to continue because China's slowing down?
Well, I think that the definite problem on the Chinese side is going to be their energy crisis, which I think that the Communist Party government is very eager to try to fix at this point, because there have been supply constraints in China to the extent that some factories have not been able to get the power that they need in order to operate. That's a really interesting story because in a way, China wants to meet global demand. They've always been very dependent on their exporters to fuel economic growth. They would be perfectly happy to continue doing that, which would have the effect also of increasing the global supply that is available to satisfy all of this demand that we've managed to gin up over the past 18 months. And yet they might not be able to because of this energy crisis that they're creating, as they try to pursue various of their green goals, to limit carbon emissions, sometimes at the behest of Western governments. So I think this is an example. So, these things are all related, and we can't assume that, various of these issues are happening in isolation. It is countless factors that go into producing a paperclip or a pencil, to use any of the famous examples from economics. And if you want to fix the inflation problem and the supply problem, you have to look at all of those factors.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London writing political economics. We're headed to London to a tragedy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.